You are listening to BensTorah.com.
In Sefer Bereishis, which the Ramban always calls it, the Mice of a similar Bunim, that describes what happened to the others as an indicator what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael in the future. And in fact, as the Ramban says many times in Chumash, all the events that are going to happen to Klal Yisrael throughout the ages are merumis somehow in the Chumash and basically recalled as a possibility based upon what Klal Yisrael does in their history. And in the Briz Bein HaBesarim in Pashas Lech Lecha, you really have the pattern of Jews in world history and the concept of Klal Yisrael's survival against the impossible and the type of existence we're going to have and the type of nisyonos Klal Yisrael are going to suffer. In particular, the four concepts I always mention, and I want to get into one very quickly because of the relevance of tonight's topic. When it came to Klal Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shalom told Avram in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, which ultimately is called the Bris of the Avos, that because of the spiritual merit that you have and Klal Yisrael have, I'm granting you four different concepts, and they're interrelated. Number one, that Hashem said he's our Mogein, he's our protector, and that the ultimate physical essence of the Jews is going to be able to survive till the end of days, till eternity. Klal Yisrael as an entity is indestructible. I'm not talking about Jews not being killed, Rachman al-Litzlan, but Klal Yisrael will survive throughout the generations to the end with the Am HaNivchar. And that's a promise only made to the Jewish people. Number two, the Klal Yisrael's existence will be mechutz miderech hateva, up and above natural law, and we'll be able to accomplish things spiritually, politically, and otherwise that no other nation on the face of this earth were ever able to do, things that are incomprehensible based upon the norms of natural law and political law. Number three, the promise of Eretz Yisrael and all of its Chalokim, who were defined and promised in Pashas Lech Lecha, the nations of the Goyim who were living then in Eretz Yisrael were enumerated, all 10 of the Canaanite nations. And the fourth, which is Nogei to tonight's shir, is that this is not a promise and a matana that is 100% going to take place with total happiness. Whether or not we will be in a geula mode, a redemption mode, living in Eretz Yisrael with all the brachos that Hashem said concerning that, or whether or not we'll be living in a gullus mode and under all different types of anti-Semitic persecution as a punishment for our averus, will depend upon quite obviously our spiritual state at that point in time. Gullus and geula will represent Klal Yisrael's existence in this world. And finally, at the end of time, we'll go into the ultimate Gula mode with the Mashichius and the end of days as described by Chazal and Tanakh. Now, in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't go into more particulars than this, but that's a pretty much of an interesting particularist list. The fact we're having a shir tonight about this topic and we're still here to talk about it means that the promises were Mekuyim, because the fact is, if what happened to other nations would have happened to us, we wouldn't be here tonight to talk about all of this. And the fact that Klal Yisrael have gone from a gullus gula mode throughout the thousands of years of world and Jewish history is something we all know, we are cognizant of, we've experienced as a nation. We think that politically we're able to do things, and even militarily, and otherwise, things that were unusual, Mechutz Miderech HaTev, as I'll explain this evening, all of this is part of our national Jewish legacy. And in particular, when it comes to Klal Yisrael and the ability for us to be able to pull ourselves out of Galus and go into a state of Geula, whether or not that is something that could only be done by God, and we have to be passive and not involve ourselves in the process, or whether or not we have to be proactive and involve ourselves intensely in the process, that specific concept is defined and described by Chazal. And this is a Gemara that you have in the Mara Mekomis in front of you, that a Gemara that many times I referred to over the years, a Gemara in Masechtas Sanhedrin. What page I want you to turn to, Chevra? Turn in this little Chaveret to page number 6, where you have the famous Ve'ita Achishenu daf, which is quotation 6c. And as the Gemara tells us, in Gula, in redemption, we have gulos that are zochu, that we're zochu to have. We have gulos that we're lo zochu to have, that are perhaps we're not worthy, but Hashem gives it to it nevertheless because of divine promises. The major difference between gula shezochu, gula shelo zochu, is that that which is a gula shezochu, when we're spiritually worthy, it is a supernatural experience, like people flying through the air miraculously. Those types of geulos that are shalom zachu are very down to earth, like a ani roichav al hachamar, and the Chaim HaKadosh in his Perish to Chumash, and Parshas Balak says that a geula shezachu is the miraculous type of deliverance, like Mitzrayim, where Hashem told Klal Yisrael to stay passive, and he did all the miracles of redemption, and we were not supposed to be involved on a personal level when it comes to fighting with the enemy or doing things as humans to take back. These were miracles, as we remember the events of the miracles of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim and such. Gula Shalom Zachu are similar to the Gulaos, so it happened when it came to Purim and the Nes of Purim, and the miracle of Hakamas HaMedina of Ezra Nehemiah at that point in time, where they were required to literally mishtadla with the non-Jewish authorities of that historical period, make deals with them, have the Geisha governments who had geopolitical control of Eretz Yisrael to give it back to us and to facilitate our construction. That, according to Achaim Kadosh, is the Gula Shelo Zachu when it comes to historical paradigms. It is for this reason that I mentioned many times over the years that when you looked later on in Jewish history amongst Rishonim and Achronim, as they started making an assessment of what is going to be the ultimate format of the end of Jewish history as we come to redemption period, I already pointed out many times that you have the Ramban, the Radak, and many Rishonim, as you see on page number 7, saying on quotation A, for instance, that Berishiyah Malchu Ummas or Ezra Mielchel Eretz Yisrael, through the Rishoyin of the Goyisha world and their help, we were able to retake Eretz at the end of time. It's the Ramban. The Radak says that the Rabban will cause L'asid Yisav V'gul Yisrael Aydei Malchi HaGoyim She'yazah She'yo'ayas Rucham L'shalcham. Hashem will stir up the Goyim to have a desire to return them to Eretz Yisrael. This is a lo zachu mode, similar to that of Purim, and there's no question the list of many, many Rishonim who actually advocated that as well. In the Achronic world, you had Gedolim of the stature of the Vilna Gaon. Later on, you had the Netziv, Baal Shem Tov, you had personalities like Rav Chaim Oza, not Rav Chaim Oza, or Yad Rav Moshe, Simcha of Devins, the Meshech Chachma. You had the Avnei Neza from the Hasidish world, the Ostrovs Rebbe from the Hasidish world, and many other Hasidish Rebbes who felt that we had to be Mishtadel and B'derech HaTeva, involve ourselves dealing with the Goyim to bring back Eretz into our specific domain. And that really spurred on what has occurred and what is taking place to this very day when it comes to Hakamas Medina as of this point in time. In particular, the events of the Balfour Declaration in 1917, that specific event which was incredibly historical, In it, first time in Jewish history you ever had any nation on the face of this earth, like the country of England, telling the Jewish people on November 2nd, 1917, that the Majesty's government, which means the King of England, views with favor the establishment of Palestine as a national home for the Jewish people, and will use their endeavors to facilitate this achievement of this objective. It's the first time any Goyish nation that had power and geopolitical control made such a declaration. What made that even more powerful is the League of Nations, a couple years later on, in July 24th, 1922, supported the Balfour Declaration, and they themselves basically issued what is called the League of Nations Palestine Mandate of July 24th, detailing how they're going to return the Jews to Eretz Israel and allow them to coexist with the Arabs over there, giving different types of parts of the land to different parts of the to the Jews and to the Arabs. But the fact is, having a national recognition of the Jews and the Goyish world saying we're going to do to return the land to them whatever we possibly can is basically Yaza B'umat Olam. You have on a level that could obviously is a Gula Shalom Zachu, as the Rechaim HaKadosh explained that Gemara in Sanhedrin itself. Now, in this backdrop, as gvaldik as this sounds and as incredible as this sounds, there were people who were pro and people who were anti. The pro, I mentioned the names when I came to the Rabbanim, I just mentioned their names. One of the most anti to this entire concept of whether secular Zionism or even religious Zionism was the Satmar Rebbe. He was the most antagonistic. And the reason he was the most antagonistic is the attitude he had towards a specific market we're going to analyze tonight, which really served as the crux of his argument. And the way he interpreted this Maimon Chazal and the way others interpreted this Maimon Chazal made all the difference whether you're pro HaKamas Medina and Tagmar Pram Tadina, and really defined the history of that time to the present, as I'm going to demonstrate very, very carefully now. The specific source I'm talking about, now look at your Maimon HaKamas inside. The specific source is a Gemara in Kesubis in the Makaris Rabbi Yisai. I want you to turn specifically to page number 3. And all the way on the bottom of the page, where my finger's pointing over here, this little piece, you have in the Gemara in Kesubis the concept of the three oaths. Three oaths, the Gimel Shvuos, that supposedly Hashem made Klal Yisrael and the Goyim swear. The first time Klal Yisrael went into the historical Golos and Golos Bavel, after Churban Bayis Rishon, supposedly an assemblage took place. These shvuos were hushpa. And what were the three shvuos? You would look on that piece of the Gemara. Gimel shvuos Allah l'olamu, acha shalo yal Yisrael b'chama. The Jews in Golos shall not go up in force when it comes to taking Klal Eretzel back by force, by military force. Achash Sheshbirash Baruch Yisrael Shalo Yimrod was Olam. We should not rebel against the Goyish world when we're in a state of Golos. And the third, Hishbirash Baruch of the Chavim, Shleshtava Yisimidai, that in our living in Golos, they have no right to use their anti-Semitic feelings to cause genocide against the Jews, to torture us, to kill us, to attempt to literally eradicate us. Shouldn't be mishtabit, use their shibud, their oppression upon us unduly. This was the deal that was made. And this seems to imply that when we're in Golos, we have to stay in Golos until somehow we have a gilui min hashamayim, or Hashem sends some type of leader, spiritual leader, to lead us back when it comes to our return. The spiritual leader I'm referring to is some messianic personality that will lead us back to the ultimate return to Eretz Israel. This Gemara seems to imply that we have to be passive until the Gula takes place. We shouldn't take any initiative, but we have to be passive till the Gula takes place. And the fact of the matter is, Satmar took this Gemara and made it into the most important Hashkafic principle in his Hashkafos of interpreting the events of his tekufa. And what he said very simply is that for us to be proactive politically through the Balfour Declaration, through the League of Nations, and try to cause the Gula to take place earlier without the Mashiach coming first, and instead of being passive in redemption, being proactive, you're violating the Shuvos. This is sacrilege. This is mamash apikursis. And not only that, he claims, and I don't want to say it, but this is what he says, that the reason the Holocaust took place was a payback for violation of these truths. The Zionists caused the Holocaust to take place because we violated the Shuah, so our punishment was the Holocaust. And if that's the case, we brought it upon ourselves. Look at what the Zionists did. They caused millions of Jews to be killed because of the Zionist aspirations to Mavalto the Shvuos. And to this very day, Satmar still holds this. And the Nature Karta, which is a fringe group of Satmar, have taken this to such an extreme that not only do they articulate this, but for them to go to Iran and kiss and hug the leaders and say we're with you against the Jewish state, to go to the Palestinian areas and sit with our adversaries, our sworn enemies, as they scheme what can do next to destroy the Medina, kissing and hugging and everything else and receiving money from them to support their entities, they went even one step further than Satmar. You know, that's, you know, if you ever go into Satmar, the Kanoim, they're the Kanoim, they're Zayn the Namalusha, Zayn the Mishugayim, you know. Now, the question is, did the Satmar Rebbe invent this, or was there a predecessor? I mean, where does this come from? I mean, he just dreamt this up, in the 1900s. So what I'm going to show you tonight is something many people don't know. And it's fascinating, but it's very sad when you look at the fact that, as I'm going to demonstrate to you, that there is a Shitas Hayachit, going back to the 14th, 1500s, a god whose name is Rav Yitzchak de Leon, who wrote a commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, which he called Megillas Esther. That's the name that he called. It has nothing to do with Purim. The purpose of this specific parish of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos was to defend the Rambam in his Sefer Mitzvos against the halachic attack of the Ramban, where the Ramban criticized the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos. You didn't put this mitzvah in, you deleted that mitzvah, or you recorded an incorrect mitzvah in the Tayag Mitzvos. There was a major ongoing machlokes between the Ramban and the Ramban. What's included in Tayag and what's not included. So on the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs, the Ramban wrote a parish, and he added those mitzvahs the Rambam he felt deleted, or aseis v'los aseis. The Megillas Esther wrote a parish in the Sefer Mitzvahs, trying to defend the Rambam against the Ramban's attack, to justify the Rambam's approach against the Ramban's approach. That's the history of the Baal Megillas Esther. When it came to the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Israel, and that Rabbi Isai in Yomar Mekamos, turn to page number 2. You have the Ramban on the top of the page and on the side of the page. In his parish Lechumish and in his parish the Sefer Mitzvos, he delineates the 6 concepts that define the parameters of Yishev Eretz Israel. On page 1 of Yomar Mekamos, just go back to page 1 momentarily. And years ago I summarized the 6 points of the Rambam when it comes to his sheet about Eretz Israel. Very simply, there's a mitzvah in all the Doros, whether you're Yochid or Rabbim, to live in Eretz Israel, it's mitzvah in Eretz Israel, Yishev Eretz Israel, has never ever terminated. It's a Tayag mitzvah. It's Nitzchi. whether a yachid or rabbin go, you're mechuyev to go there forever. Number two, the Easter to establish a Jewish homeland outside of Eretz Israel. Three, the Easter Mi'asaris, showing any rejection, any disgust for the land of Eretz Israel. He called it the Chet of the Meraglim. Easter Lazda, when Solomon can forsake and give the land over to the Goyish world. Five, Easter to leave the land and state to Shmama, desolation. You got to make sure every part of the land there itself is used constructively, if not for human inhabitation, for agriculture, but every piece of land is used constructively. And the six is the Melchem Smith, b'chol generations, to be involved in war if necessary, to hold on to the land, to defend ourselves, as the Melchem Smith Soledaris. This is the Ramban. The Ramban, therefore, had a time against the Rambam. Rambam, why don't you list this as a Tayag Mitzvah? And that was his Taina. If you look on page 2, we have now the Megillas Esther. Let me show one pointing, guys. This is number C on page 2. We're going to read it now. And I'm going to show you what he said to defend the Rambam. Why did the Rambam not include Mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael in his Sefer of Tayag Mitzvahs? So says the Megillas Esther, see, nearly kamash lamana haravhu lefisha mitzvah yushas eres vishivasa lo nogarak b'mei Moshe v'Yeshua v'David v'chos man shalagolam yartzam. The mitzvah only applies when we're in a geula mode in whatever generation you're dealing with. Ava'ach esh ha'golam ha'masam, but once we went into golus, this mitzvah is not noheges ad bay ha-mashiach. So you see very quickly, in order to take us out of golus mode, we as proactive personalities ain't the one going to do that. Golus will be end by the Mashiach being sent, and Hashem is going to give us a signal it's time to come back. Therefore, if that's the case, Rabbi Yisai, until that happens, we're in a Golus mode. You could be living in Eretz Israel, and you're still in the Golus mode. This is his opinion. The Mitzvah doesn't exist. Now, why is that important? The reason that's important, I don't have that piece over here written, is that the Rambam, in his Shorei Shlishi, in his Hakdamah to Sefer Mitzvahs, wrote, I will only categorize something as a mitzvah if the mitzvah is eternal and never has a stop in its halachic applicability. A mitzvah that's turned on, a mitzvah that's turned off, sometimes it applies, sometimes it doesn't apply, is not looked upon as a nitzchi. Those types of tzvim, even though they might be a deraisa, don't have the right to be categorized as a tayag mitzvah. So what he did, the Megillah says to say, that since I'm of the opinion, and he wants to claim the Rambam also held this, that when we're in a golus mode, the mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael on a deraisa level ceases to exist and will only come back as a mitzvah deraisa when we go out of golus and gula through the Mashiach's bakashas to return, the mitzvah therefore is not an ongoing eternal obligation. Rabbi Moshe Tosi said therefore would not categorize this as a tayyik mitzvah. So that's my answer to the Ramban, since it doesn't apply b'zman as that we're in golus. Therefore, that's why the mitzvah itself is not in the tayyag category. So therefore, that's the technical answer to why the Rambam did what he did. Whether the Rambam held this, Rabbi Yisai, I'll disprove this very quickly. But this is what he says in the name of the Rambam. Then he says, well, now we're coming to the hot stuff. Ki ad Rabba, nitztavinu l'mash omer b'sof k'suvos, shelo nimro, he's not going to the Gimel Shvuos. We shouldn't rebel against the Umot Olam, L'lech es lichbosh es eretz b'chazacha, to take back the land by force. V'chich mipasek hishbati eschem benos Yishleim, 3-4 psukim in Shir HaShirim that are repeated over and over again. V'dar shubo shalolal Yisrael b'chom, we shouldn't take it back by military force to capture it. So therefore, what he is saying is, not only there's no mitzvah to live there, but there's an Easter for us to be proactive, using military force to retake it before the Mashiach comes. And that's prohibited by these three Shvuos. You could already see, Rabbi Yisai, what's going to happen from all of this. Because ultimately, when the Satmar Rebbe interpreted what he interpreted, He says the proactive nature of the Jews from Europe and the world trying to go back and retake the land, ready to use military force if necessary to accomplish that, is a violation of these Shvuos, which this Gadol lived around the 1500s. He claimed that Gemara and Ksubis is applicable, and therefore, if that's the case, it's if applicable. The Rebbe says, I hold it's still applicable, and therefore that is what is the sacrilegious things taking place. They were violating the Shvuos. Let's go back inside. Amr HaRabban, Chachamim said, Amr ki vishu mitma hi melchemes mitzvah. The Ramban said, it's a melchemes mitzvah. Zer shel yinam shubalot. That's only when we're not under the shibud of the Gayim. But we're in Gullus mode, there's no mitzvah of melchemes mitzvah at that point. On the contrary, we have to be passive. Umasha Amr Od, Shechachamim hifligu b'sherev, the Chazal talked about tremendously the importance of living in Eretz Israel. Zedav kevazan, basically, there's Kayam, Avo Akshav, now we're in Gullus, ein mitzvah l'dor, there's no mitzvah to live there, period. And then what he adds in for the mix, Vechem pirshu ha-teifes sham, gabi umalalas. Now what is he doing? He's saying, if you want me to prove my thesis, let me show you the Gemara in the Sefer Ksubis. Turn to page 3. On page 3, if you want to know how important the Mishnah of Eretz Yisrael is, the Mishnah says on this page in Ksubis that husbands and wives can force their spouses to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael if that's what they want to do, and the spouses cannot be unwilling to do such. And if the spouses don't want to have their spouse go there, they can force a divorce. If the woman is recalcitrant, he can divorce her, bal karcha, and forfeits the ksuba. If the husband's recalcitrant, she can force a divorce, get the ksuba, leave her husband back, and go to Eretz Israel. So the concept being kaifi mishpacha members to make aliyah there. If you look on the side, which says D, there's a little tosfos over here. This tosfos says, the concept of kfiya, forcing a spouse to go, ain't annoying bizman azeh, deika sakadis to rachim. First of all, at the time of the writing of this tosfos, it's the period of the Crusades. It was a sakadis to fascists for a Jew to live in Europe, let alone to go the highways and byways and be on the sea traveling. So if there's a pekuach nefesh and going on the highways and byways and the seas, pekuach nefesh is dechol tarakula. So the first part of the thesis is you're popped up because of pekuach nefesh. And then he quotes Rabbeinu Chaim. This is the Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, one of the French palaitasis. The Akshav ain't a mitzvah l'dobor, ki yesh kama mitzvahs ha-tluyis beretz, kama oinshim, den yochel lozor behem, lama behem. Just since we can't do the mitzvahs ha-tluyis beretz, the aseis below says today, if that's the case, the whole purpose of living for living in Eretz is to do mitzvahs. I can't do it. There's no mitzvah to live there. If there's no mitzvah to live there, the mitzvah kfiyah that's based upon that no longer applies. So this Megillas Esther quotes this Taisvah saying that Bezman is there, there's no mitzvah what to be kofi your spouse to go, which means the mitzvah of Aliyah didn't apply but to Kufas HaRishonim. It still doesn't apply now 400 or 500 years later on. And without me, the Satmar Rebbe says it applies to the 1900s as well. So you're basically taking the Megillas Esther statement of 1400s, applying it now all the way to the 1900s, and when Megillas Esther wrote it, we lived in the 1400s, 1500s, he already applied it 400 years later on, we just extended it by the Satmar to our Tekufa. Go back inside. He then continues, Od Rayash Ein Bo Mitzvah Ma She'amru, a person's Oyla from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is Oyla Nasei, Shenim Abav Levav Hashem Yiyu, you're going to go above and they're going to be until Hashem redeems you. If you say mitzvah living Eretz applies eternally, how can a Navi come and say, sir, the words, which means a Navi can't count the mitzvahs given to us by Moshe? So if he's saying there's a mitzvah by Moshe to live in Eretz eternally, so how can a Navi say it's also for you to return to Eretz Israel? And the Maim Shehavim is afraid that people that Amarayim, Tanayim, when they used to leave Eretz Yisrael, cried and they taught Kriya. So he says that's not because they physically were halacha lamasa just leaving, shalahoya biyog mekayim mitzvah, because at that time there was korban abayis and there's no mitzvah to mekayim, so they tore the clothing of elis because of the lack of the mitzvah in their tekufa. So therefore, at the end, chaknem vada mitzvah zu eino heges achachachubin, ashibana beis amidosh beheri v'yameinu. So this specific Megillas Esther was the one who wrote the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael out of the books. It don't exist until the Mashiach comes. So if you ask where the Satma and the Trikata got it from, it's from the writings of this specific Gadol.
You are now listening to Ben's Torah.
The problem is the following. If the Megillas Esther held this way, he's entitled to his opinion. You know, Elu Vela Rabbi Isai. I mean, after the shiur I gave the last 2 weeks, we can't say you're wrong, you're right. You have a right to think that way. You have a right to interpret it that way. The problem that the Gedolim had with the Megillas Esther, and the one who really articulated a major piece upon this, was Avadi Yosef. And what he points out is, the Megillas Esther can hold what he holds, but don't pin this opinion on the Rambam. Because I'm going to show you now that the Rambam in no way could have held this based upon the Piskei HaRambam and based upon the Hashkafis articulated by the Rambam. What do I mean by this? So let me show you something. Turn, Rabbi Isai, first of all, to page number 5. In the world of Hashkafis HaRambam, page number 5, the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim. Hilchas Malachim, page 5. It says, number 10, Also letzeis meretz Yisrael l'chutz l'aretz l'yaylam. A person should never, ever, ever leave Eretz Yisrael once you're there, except l'olam mitorah, l'yisa'ishah, l'hatzamon akum, but then yachz l'aretz. That's number 1. More poignantly, look at halacha yudeis. La'olam yada adam be'eretzel afilu b'ir sheru ba'akum al yada b'chutz la'aretz afilu b'ir sheru b'Yisrael. Forever, if I had a choice throughout the generations of living in an Arab town in Eretz Yisrael or living in the 5 towns in Lawrence or in Borough Park or Lakewood, I have to choose living in an Arab town in Eretz Israel and living in the lap of luxury of Jewry in Chutz Laretz. La'ola, which means the mitzvah of living in Eretz Israel is la'olam. It never, never terminated from the Hashkafa literature. The Rambam never quotes in the Mishneh Torah the Gimel Shvuas. In the world of Halacha, the Rambam never brings it down Halacha Lamasa. He rejected it. Interesting. So therefore,
what does he do with
it? I don't know. You'll ask him when Mashiach comes what he does with it. But this is Avad Yosef's kasha. Did he ever look at the Rambam? He might have held that way. But don't pin that specific sheet on the Rambam. That's the problem over here. So that's the Hashkafa piece. If you look, Rabbi Say now, I want to turn back to the Halachic piece. Page number 4. Halacha 1, the Rambam Hilchas Ishus. The mitzvah, husbands and wives being called for each other to go to Eretz Israel. The Rambam never limits it to a time frame. It's a halacha, ongoing halacha. On the bottom of the page, see what I'm pointing over here, Rabbi Isai? There's a tshuva during the Rambam, Mr. Kufa. A question was posed. Can a husband force his wife to go to Eretz Israel? Can a wife force her husband? Is that applicable to Bizman Azeh? And the Rambam in his Shelos and Tshuvas Paskin, it is applicable. Halacha lamasa. But if it were in Golus, how could he have Paskin that way according to the Megillas Esther? Number 2, the Rambam Hilchas Avadim. An Eved Kenani can force his Adam to take him to Eretz Israel or sell him to a Jew who's going to go there. And the Rambam says, Din Zeh Bechol Zman, Afilu Bezman Azeh She Yisrael Biarakum, even during Golus, the Kfi applies. If there's no mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael, how can Eved Kenani force his master to take him there? The Rambam Hilchas Shabbos. Amira la'akam, even letzarech mitzvah, is normally a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. You tell a guy to do something, which is a derabanan. You tell him to do an isa derabanan, to bring a knife as a mail through a camelus. I forgot, I need to do the bris. So shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah is allowed. A telling an akam to do an isa derais letzarech mitzvah is normally not allowed. The exception is Eretz Yisrael. The Goyim was shrewd. They used to hold land sales for Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos because they knew the Jews couldn't participate. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara codifies, if that's what they're going to do to fool around, you can tell a guy in Shabbos, stretch shlichus, serve for me, I'm going to give you power of attorney, sign, seal, deliver, whatever you have to do to buy that parcel of land in Eretz Yisrael back for me, get it back for me. That's called Amir La'akum, telling him to do an Isa Derais L'Tzarech Mitzvah. Eretz Yisrael is the exception to rule because of the importance. And the Rambam says that's Halach L'Masa B'Zman Hazeh. If there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, in the Rambam's Tekufa, you couldn't codify that. The mitzvah mezuzah. Renting a house, the mezuzah, you have 30 days to put it up. In Eretz Yisrael, because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you got to put it up immediately. So the Rambam's Psakim, as Avad Yosef, indicate that the halacha applied when the Rambam lived. We were in a state of Golos at that point in time. But quite obviously, the mitzvah existed, or else he couldn't have passed in this way. And the proof is, where the Rechayim HaKohen claimed the mitzvah didn't exist, there's an Isa Kviya, there's no Chiv of Kviya. If the Rambam passed, you can be Kviya, what does that seem to imply? He disagreed with Rechayim HaKohen, and he says the mitzvah does apply b'zman HaGolos. So the Rambam, in his own persona, in his halachic hashkafeh, did not agree with this Megillas Esther. Now, the technical answer, so why in the world didn't the Rambam include this in Tayag Mitzvahs? Now that's the question I was in the other direction. So the many terutzim given, but the terutz I like the best is that given by Rav Kook Zatzal. Rav Kook says it's based upon another principle of the Rambam in his Shirashim to the Sefer Mitzvahs. The Rambam held that mitzvahs that are enumerated are mitzvahs pratiyim, which are specific do's and specific don'ts. Mitzvahs that are hashkafios, general hashkafos of Klal Yisrael, which might be a deraisa and are deraisa, but they're so broad-based, and there's so many things that are included in this general hashkafa. Their chiv is a deraisa ledaros, but they're not nimna as a tayag mitzvah. He gives like kedoshim to you as an example. It's a deraisa ledaros, but what's nichla underneath that is maybe might be nimna and tayag mitzvah, but not kedoshim to you. Says Rav Kook, the mitzvah living in Eretz or hashkafically is a mitzvah klali, is a hashkafa satira. You have to live in Eretz Israel. Live in Eretz Israel. The Rambam talks about mitzvahs. He talks to Mar Nevuchim about hashkacha pratis miyuchedes. That's hashkafa klali. The mitzvahs that are nimna in the Sefer Mitzvahs are the do's and don'ts. Mitzvahs, maisros, trumos, bikurim, the isurim of Shemitah, and such, yoivo. Though that stuff which are specific do's and don'ts are nimna. The hashkafa klali living in Eretz Israel is a deraisa, but it's so klali, it's like kedoshim to you, it's a given principle in Klal Yisrael, it's not nimna as a tayag mitzvah, that's the reason, not because he doesn't hold, doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. That's the way of Kook and of Adyos, who quotes him as the way of taking the Rambam out of the picture. So we can't blame the Rambam over here. Leave the Rambam out of the picture. Now, once we've done that, Rabbi Yisai, let's now analyze this and the Gimel Shvuos. The Rambam does not quote the Gimel Shvuos. The Rif, the Rush, all the major poskim. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. The Rambam doesn't quote it. Megillas Esther quotes it. There's some Yechidim in the Rishonim that quote it, but very, very few. The majority do not quote it. And when you take a head count in the Rishonim, most Rishonim say, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, like the Ramban, applies the Reis ad hayom hazeh. And I can give you a laundry list of the amount of Rishonim who paskin that way, and the amount of Acharonim that paskin that way. So the question is, what do we do with these Gimel Shvuos? So what's interesting and fascinating is, since the Satman, that group, brought it up in the 1900s as a reaction to the Balfour and the League of Nations, The Gedolim who disagreed with the Satmar, what did they do with the Gibel Shvuos? So the I'll give you even more camps of thought of what they did. The Avnei Nezer, one of the great Hasidish Gedolei HaPoskim of Europe, and he was looked upon as, you know, one of the Mamish Gedolei Hadar. Not only was he a great Rebbe, but he was, when it came to Poskim, Avnei Nezer, Alamdim Shein Kamo, even the Rav used to quote the Avnei Nezer. So such Alamdim, it's a Hasidish with a Litvish cup, as they say. You know what he said? He says, guess what, Chevra? You know why nobody's quoting this? Because this never happened in this world. If it did happen, it was a meeting of the Malachim in Shemayim, the Sire of this nation, the Sire of that nation, that United Nations meeting in Shemayim amongst Malachim. Hashem made a deal with the Malachim who control the nations down here. But at the end of the day, it never happened with the human beings, the nations down on this earth. We have a principle in Hashkafas HaTorah, Lo B'Shamayim Bi. So if that's the case, if this would have happened down here, Yirmiyah, Yeshayah, Yecheskel, one of them would have recorded Klal Yisrael coming together with representatives of the Goyish world and the Shul is being administered. Anytime Hashem was Mashbiyah, Klal Yisrael, the Tekufa Moshe is recorded in the Torah. Even the Tekus of Yeshua, before he passed away, he wanted to make an assemblage, Miber Mashbiyah them. You have a recording in Tanakh. So in his mind, the Shvuos are not halakhic reality, they're not human reality. There's nothing to talk about. For Chassidish HaPosek to say that is a Chiddush B'Soich HaChiddush. I mean, that, you know, knowing where the Chassidish come from, that alone, but that was his opinion. Doesn't apply, doesn't exist. Now, what's interesting is the Litvisha. They took a more pragmatic approach. If I say it does exist, but it doesn't apply, who? The Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma was known to be a very strong supporter of the desire to get Jews to go back to Eretz Yisrael. He was behind the Balfour. He's behind the League of Nations. He was thrilled, and his approach was very simply that even if you say these shuas do exist in the world of Halakha and Hashkafa, but that's not the way we're getting back Eretz Yisrael today. We have a major nation, Britain, who were geopolitically in control of Eretz Yisrael, like the Persia was at the time of Baal Sheni. They're writing us a letter without a gun to the head, we're giving it back to you. Then you have the League of Nations, which was the group before the UN, coming, confirming, making the mandate of Palestine. So we're not rebelling against the nations of the world, they're giving it back to us. We're going to help you guys do it, help rebuild it, go back. That is not a violation of the Shavuos. And therefore the term used by the Meshech Chachma is Sor, the fear of the Pachad of the Shavuos is no longer here. Go for it. It's not Shaykh. And I found later on, Rav Tachtel and anybody Smecha also hold that way. You look around, you'll find, even the Avnei Nezer mentions that Svara. That's not the way we're getting it back today. So we're rebelling, taking it by force. The fact of the matter is that's not the Metzius. If there was military force, it was to defend ourselves. It was a war of self-defense. It wasn't a war of offense, if I'm making myself clear. Now, the third approach, also I found, I heard it from my Rebbe of Soloveitchik, but I saw that Rav Tachtel and others brought this as well, is that if you claim there was such a shvua taken between Klal Yisrael and the Goyish world, so you have a contract being drawn between the Goyim and the Jews, how we're going to live together in a state of Golos. So says the Rav, the Soloveitchik and the Chassidish Gedolim who follow this Mahalach as well, the concept of Shelo Yishtal B'Yosem Yidai, that the Goyim should not torture us, persecute us, commit genocide against us, that's the history of the world, history of the Jews. From the time of Churban Abayis to the present, that's all the Goyim did. First, the way what happened in Churban Bayis Sheni. What happened then when it came to Beitar later on. Then when we skip Rabbi Yisai a couple of years, what happened to the Jews when it came to ultimately the Crusades. What happened to the Jews when it came to Gor HaSfarad. Later on, what happened when it comes to Tach V'Tat. We can go through Jewish history. The Goyim never stopped not doing so if they're mavatal, they're part of the contract,
we're not mechuyev to hold on to our, it's called abrogation of contractual relationships. If one side violates, the other side does not. So the contract, even if it did exist, doesn't exist halachically anymore. Nothing to talk about. And therefore, if that's the case, they slept very well at night, not worrying about the Yeshuas. Okay. If you ask them, why did the Holocaust take place? So my Rebbe said, without a Navi, we don't know. We don't know. And don't conjecture, because it's going to make the situation worse. But there were some Gedolim that did want to articulate. And those who are pro-Eretz Yisrael, you know what they said why the Holocaust took place? Is because when the Jews were given the ability to make Aliyah by these things taking place, and we rejected this mode of Gula Shel Ozacha with Rishon HaMalchus, and we were adamant to stay in Europe, and when the Meshech Chachma went to the Berlin Jews, and he says, guys, there's anti-Semitism brewing over here, and you don't know what's in store for you, get out of here. And they said, we don't need to go to Jerusalem, Berlin is our Jerusalem. And he says, boy, oh boy, and he writes this up in Sefer Bechukosa, in the Meshech Chachma. So the fact of the matter is, they looked upon the rejection of Klal Yisrael of Eretz Yisrael, of Miyas Aretz, the Yemosa Be'eretz Chemdo, that like living in Gosh, as the Chet that caused the Holocaust. We also wanted to say that it wasn't because we supported Eretz Yisrael, we got the Holocaust. The Holocaust was because we basically were kofar in wanting to go to Eretz Yisrael, when we had the ability to do such. So if that's the case, the Svar is just the opposite Svar. So you have, you can imagine, what was brewing around the Jewish world at that point in time when it came to this. What makes situations even worse, and this, that of Teichtel and Ein Banes Smeich and others mentioned later on, of a Hungarian Jewry were destroyed towards the end. But they knew already what was happening to the Polish Jewry and other Jews in Lithuania beforehand. The Satmarov and his Chevra were given a forewarning, get out of there. Run to this place and that place to save yourselves. They were unwilling to do such. We're not going to, you know, mechazik the Zionists by showing we're running away, whatever it is, we're going to stay where we are. And therefore, as a result of that, the Hungarian Jews who could have escaped, and were told by the Rebbes, including the Satmar, to stay where you are, location, were ultimately caught up by the Germans, and they did what they basically did. But they could have saved themselves. And the Rebbes were the ones who told them to stay. Rav Tachtel, anybody smecha, who's Hungarian Rav, said, I take achrayas, because I did what all the other Hungarian Rav said. You stay here, and you don't move. Mashiach hasn't come yet. The fact of the matter is, you see what happened. What's worse is the Satmar ultimately escaped through, and he left his Hasidim behind.
The Jewish agency got him out.
Yeah, and the fact is, they were butchered. So he got himself out. Wow. Or we could have saved his chevra. He wasn't. People don't want to talk about that. But that's one of the sad episodes. This is documented. It's not my chidushim. But the fact of the matter is, they used the Gimel Shvuos as the raison d'etre to tell their Hasidim Eretz Yisrael is poison. If the Jews are succeeding, it's not God who is doing this, it's the Maisa Satan, and you are supporting the Satan, satanic devices. So if there's any success in Eretz Yisrael, it's the Satan that you should thank, not the Rabbi Nishon. This is what their Hashkaf is, and that is their Hashkaf Ad Hayom Hazeh. The Trekata just took it to the next extreme. But it's primarily this specific Megillas Esther animating these Gimel Shvuos as an eternal halachic concept of total passivity till the Mashiach comes, that shaped their hashkafa. There's no mitzvah to live there. So the question is, are there satna communities in Eretz Yisrael today?
Yes.
If they are, so that's a violation of the Rebbe, because the Rebbe says you can't live there till the Mashiach comes. What? That's another question. It's a kasha for Maisa.
Right.
It's kasha for Maisa. What's also interesting in Satmar today, I read this recently, is that in Satmar, some of the younger Satmar decided that they have gone Madernish, the Hasidish. They don't believe in anti-Zionism, and therefore they became from Zionists. They're opening out Yeshuvim in Eretz Yisrael to have now Zionistic Satmar. So the Rosh Hashanah, you know, has a way of, you know, of turning things around. So they're against the Rebbe's concept. They felt we have to be, you know. So the fact of the matter is, even the Haredi world, the attitude of being part of the army and fighting for the Medina, you want to be part of the army in the Hasidic Shurach, they will give you special units and take care of all your needs and necessities. And in fact, they have. And some of those units end up being the most super duper when it comes to the army. A lot of the special missions they do are done by these Chevra, incredible missions. So Baruch Hashem, I would say in the Hasidic world, I'm so Masatma, but the other ones have basically joined. And I think the Medina is heading in an interesting direction at this point of time when it comes to the Haredish community, slowly but surely integrating into what's going on. What is interesting to note, Rabbi Isai, an historical note, what was the attitude of Agudas Israel when Satma was rejecting, called the Samaisa Satan? What did all the Gedolim, the Litvishe Rabbonim, and the Admorim in Agudas say about the Gimel Shvus? You know, they say seeing is believing. So I want to show you tonight. Set the record straight. Turn Rabbi Isai to page number 10. The famous historian for Agudas Israel is Rav Friedenson. He wrote a book which basically is an account of the history of Agudas Israel. But I want to get a hold of the book. Agud didn't have any extra copies to sell me. So I went to Amazon.com. You can find everything on Amazon.com, just because I'm sure you want to pay for it. And I got a very good price, because this is an historical book, you're not going to have this ever reprinted. And I got a hold of having in the house two different copies of it. Yeah. Now, this is a photostat of one of the pages. So, if you look on the right-hand side of the page, it says Kislev 5707. Okay? So this is the Hashkafa of the Agudas Israel, going from the Moetzes all the way down. The United Nations voted the establishment of the Jewish state, and at that time Agudas Israel made the following declaration. The world Agudas Israel sees as an historic event the decision of the nations of the world to return to us after 2,000 years, a portion of the Holy Land, there to establish a Jewish state, and to encompass within its borders the banished and scattered members of our people. This historic event must bring home to every Jew the realization that the Almighty, not the Sultan, that the Almighty, what? The Almighty Himself brought this about. It's an act of divine providence which presents us with a great task and grave test. We must face up to this test and establish our life as a people upon the basis of Torah. While we are sorely grieved, the land has been divided and sections of the Holy Land have been torn asunder because the Goyim gave certain parts to the Arab world, especially Yerushalayim, the holy city, while we still yearn for the aid of the Mashiach Tzidkenu, who will bring total redemption, we nevertheless see this once again, the hand of Providence, the Rabbanu Shalom, offering us the opportunity to prepare for the Gula Shlema, if we will walk into the future as God's people. We therefore turn to our brothers in the land of Israel and throughout the world to utilize this historic moment as a turning point in the Yishuv, among all of to free ourselves of all the alien cultures, to return to a source to the Torah upon which our very right to Eretz Israel is based. Let us rise to the challenge and build our political, social, and personal lives in the spirit of Jewish heritage. It is only through Torah Israel that exists Eretz Israel is assured, and it is written that we will give them land, that they may observe his statutes, etc., etc. Let's not forget that we were once a free people in our hand, in our land, and because we sinned, we were driven out. Let us now rectify the error, reunite ourselves with the eternal Torah, let the Torah be the foundation of our life and light of Torah, which will show our way. And all the nations of the world will see the name of God called upon you. We urge all sections of the Yishuv to make a possible true union of all our people based upon Torah. We urge our brothers, Lord of Torah, to unite as a mighty force, the force of the Yisrael Saba. We urge the Jewish government to stand alert for the homeless people of the land. This also turns to Arab neighbors. We understand the Jewish people wishes to live in peace as good neighbors for the benefit of the land and for the good of all inhabitants. Let the whole Jewish people stand united under the flag of Torah, which always united Knesset Israel for Gula Shlema. The Satmar called the Agudaniks collaborators with the satanic Zionist. And he cursed out the entire Agudas Israel because of this. because, you know, Chas v'Shalom, they made a deal with the Satan. On top of the page, it mentions that the Agudat Yisrael negotiated with Ben-Gurion that the Medina should run in certain areas according to Halacha. What was the deal? There should be public, there should be Shabbos observance in public life officially. Number two, the observance on kashrus and governmental institutions. Number three, marriage and divorce governed by the Torah. Guarantees for religious education. A pledge to these conditions was contained in the letter signed by Dovid Ben-Gurion, Yitzhak Grunbaum, Fishman, to basically, at least they started off that way with that type of understanding, and that really has, in many respects, impacted this very day. Okay. What I'm pointing out is they didn't concern themselves with the Gemara. They took the Mahalach of Meir Simcha and others that either didn't exist or doesn't apply, but that did not change that it's Me'es Hashem Ho'es Azos. It's the hand of God. We got to react, which means the concept of being proactive in a Gula Shelo Zachu was pounced upon by these Gedolim as what our position should be. And therefore, if we're Lo Zachu, we got to do what we got to do. Secular Zionists, note the secular Zionists. When Rabbi Simcha was asked, he says, but how can you deal with people who are Mechal Hashem's name? He says, maybe they're Mechal now, but one day they'll be Mekad Hashem Shemayim. Just give a chance for the project to work and to function and to go forward. And the fact of the matter is, historically, look at Eretz Yisrael today. Kanayin Ahara. The amount of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, in numbers alone, never existed in the history of Jewish people for thousands of years. Of the amount of people, boys and girls, men and women learning Torah, is simply mind-boggling. The fact of the matter, Kanayin Ahara, the population, they were always concerned about the Arabs outpopulating the Jews. Demographics. The new statistics are the Jews, Kanayin Ahara, because of the Haredim, are outpopulating the Arabs. And therefore, if that's the case, the head of the banks there, Mr. Frankel, who now is no longer there, he told, and this is a story I know personally, because I know the person who was happened to, a couple, about 2-3 years ago, before he retired from the Israeli banking system, he told the government in a meeting with Paris and others that you are not taking advantage of the Haredish population in Eretz Israel. In a couple of years, they're going to be the overwhelming majority. They're going to have an incredibly voting bloc. So why are you alienating? Why are you chepping with them? Why are you trying to drive them away with all these different types of gezeris against them, cutting this and cutting that? If you were smart, these people are smart, they learn, they have not. Teach them a profession, teach them the jobs that Israel needs for the future to maintain the infrastructure of Eretz Israel. So they developed a plan to create 2 Haredi colleges, for men and for women, where they're going to teach the younger light who want to sign on the various professions and technology and computers and whatever, medicine, whatever you want, we'll give you a full college education, teach you English as well, so you'll be able to, men, women separate, a glatt kosher, they should be the future infrastructure for high tech. You need people for high tech, they'll take care of the high tech for you. This now exists in Eretz Israel. The person who was asked to be in charge, they went to Yitzhak David Grossman, they said to him, you're the only guy we know in Eretz Israel that might convince the Gedolim to buy into this. So he went to Rav Steinman. They told Rav Steinman, they want me to run this program, but I'll only do it if you give me a bracha and give me your... He gave him a bracha. He said, you're in charge. You have my bracha. Do it. He then went to the most powerful Hasidisha, the Belzer Rebbe. He says, will you sign on? He says, if you are in charge and what you're describing is the case, I'm giving my 2 diskashrus. So the 2 most powerful Hasidish and Litvashe Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael gave their bracha. This project now is flourishing, Kanayin Ahara. And Rabbi Grossman is, you know, officially in charge. It's going to give that Torah community, for those who want to be involved, a Shena Panasa, Bekavadika Panasa, because they're teaching them really modern types of employment in high-tech types of things. They view in a couple of years, in 10, 15 years, you can even contemplate having Mamish a Haredi prime minister. I mean, if you think about it, the way the elections are going to be going and the way the manpower. So the fact of the matter is, even that's undergoing a metamorphosis. If you're going to man the infrastructure, man the government, whatever it is, you can't be more pro-Medina than that. And you're working the... So we see things happening, things developing. This is all the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once again, Gula Shel Bozachu, it starts that way, and it's developing that way. And let's hope and pray in Yetz Hashem that we'll be able to navigate and come to the ultimate, as the Aguda said, the final Gula Shel with the Mashiach coming to finish off the job, eliminating any type of anti-Semitism, which the world is full of at this point in time, to bring the ultimate Mashiach Tzitkenu with all of the brachas, Aksuvas B'Teira, B'mehir B'Enu Amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.